Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text Number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nascent of material existence. Purport. The Pratik has requested Narada to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Generally, when a common man meets a saintly person, he wishes to get some material benediction. However, the Pratikas were not interested in material benefit, for they had enjoyed all this sufficiently. Nor did they want the fulfillment of their material desires. They were simply interested in crossing the ocean of nescience. Everyone should be interested in getting out of these material clutches. Everyone should approach a saintly person in order to be enlightened in this connection. One should not bother a saintly person to get blessings for material enjoyment. Generally, householders receive saintly persons to get their blessings, but the real aim is to become happy in the material world. Asking such material directions is not recommended in the Shastras. Can you follow me?
ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಕರ ಫಲಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ
Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamitam Tam Sanjeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sara He Krishna Padana Sindhu Vina Vandu Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Takta Kanchana Gauravina Rade Vrinda Maheshwari Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Hanyuye Vancha Gatata Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Jyadevacha Kalita Namahavani Vyo Vrishnare Vyo Namah Jai Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi, Gaura Bhaktavinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
These instructions come to us through the scientific succession. And that's why in the beginning we sing Om Ajnana Timirandha Sarada, the torchlight of knowledge. The spiritual master is opening the eyes of the disciple, and then he is giving tattva darshan, seeing the world through the philosophy. That's what is being touched upon here. Now, what is the famous verse in the Gita that talks about guru disciple?
There's many.
Yes, please. Chant as many as you can. You have a second mind? Can you have a second mind?
Tadvidhi pranipatena
pariprasyena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanas tattva darshana. So, in that chapter, fourth chapter is entitled what?
Transcendental
knowledge. You cannot get a Gita, so let's do Gita first. You cannot get a copy of Gita. Phone is not personal, so you don't get a mother and father and phone. You get a book, is a special touch, all the senses are engaged. Better. So you get better get a book maybe from the shelf and 1 or 2 copies.
What
about
the
things in different translation?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 should be fine, 2 or 3. Yeah. You can share. So,
there's one more.
Four.
Brown.
So, in the contents page, you'll have transcendental knowledge under the chapter. Can you read what's in that? Prabhupada puts succinct information there. If you go to the contents page, right at the beginning, you will see chapter 4. And can somebody read that? So there is a thing called contents page, and then there is a
transcendental knowledge.
Yes, please. Yeah. Maybe you can give the mic.
Transcendental knowledge, the spiritual knowledge of the soul, of God and of their relationship, is both purifying and liberating. Such knowledge is the fruit of selfless devotional action, karma yoga. The Lord explains the remote history of the Gita, the purpose and significance of its periodic descents to the material world, and the necessity of approaching a guru, a realized teacher.
So, in the if you reflect on your own devotional life, what are some of the services that you are engaged in the beginning? Each one of you can reflect on. Tell me what sort of services when you engage in, where you ask to come in straight and join Bhakti Shastri class, or what did you do before then? What were you doing? Question to all of you.
You're
taking the prasadam house, are you? After that.
First time would be served.
Paying obeisance to ladies.
Paying obeisance to ladies, group. What else?
Participating in kirtan.
Participating in kirtan. What else?
Hearing the Bhagavad Gita class.
Hearing Bhagavad Gita class, okay. Were you doing anything with your hands and legs? Any hands-on activities were you doing?
Cleaning the temple.
Cleaning the temple, okay, good. And cleaning the prasadam hall after eating. So, whatever is fed, then the energy comes out. Were you getting paid for that?
Yes.
Were you getting paid for cleaning the prasada hall? You were.
Prasada is given.
Prasada is given, that's a payment. Okay, were you paid in dollars? Were you paid in dollars to clean the prasada hall?
Yeah, yeah. Dollar is actually we can't eat, so we need prasada.
Dollar we can't eat, so that's why you need prasada. So you didn't get dollars for getting cleaning prasada hall. So that is the aspect of selfless service. Selfless devotional action. You are engaged in that sort of selfless devotional action, and as a result of that, here you are as an initiated disciple. Somehow in the process of getting initiated. Why? Because we were engaged in selfless devotional service, because there is a whole institution which facilitates such selfless devotional service, and the result of doing that is the rate at which you apply the opportunities that you get in devotional service, those hands-on service that you're doing, and that increases the eagerness to hear. Shushrushrushradhadhan se vasudeva katamuchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirtha nishevana. Who is the mahat that we were serving when we were doing the devotional service? Do you know? Who is that mahat? Mahat seva is described. Who is that great personality we were serving through this devotional service? Who are we trying to please? Who is that great person? Any ideas? Who is that great person we were trying to serve through these devotional activities? Question for all of you. Who is that great person that we were trying to serve by these selfless devotions? Who are we trying to serve? Wow, so sweet. Srila Prabhupada, thank you. So, that is how, by serving that great personality, we get what? Transcendental knowledge. That transcendental knowledge involves knowing three things. What is that? Can you read the section again, the first two lines? Yeah, what is transcendental knowledge below that?
The spiritual knowledge of the soul, God, and of the relationship.
The spiritual knowledge of the soul, of God, and that relationship. So this is what
understanding who we are.
Yes. Yeah, understand who you are.
Understanding who Supreme Lord is.
Understand who the Lord is.
And what is the relation between the Lord and the Supreme Lord.
So when Krishna says, Jnanas Tattva Darshanaha, they have seen the truth. Interestingly, Krishna uses the word they, not just one person. It represents the entire parampara. That is why the receiving of instructions is a mystical process by which you have multiple personalities instructing at different stages in your life. And that is what is happening in the case of Prachetas at this point. Their father instructed them to go to the forest, perform austerities. Although the motive was not pure at that stage, but their actions were, so they went there. So Vartanam Pradakshaka Guru is the one who is showing the path, then the one who initiates Diksha, Lord Shiva, Rudra Gita has given, and he instructs them, act like sages, keep these prayers in your mind, recite them, and anyone who recites this with the folded hands in front front of the Supreme Lord, they will get devotion, they will be able to please the Lord quickly. So, that's how the process works, in a way that you have different set of instructors coming into your life at different times and giving you the, showing you the right path, because you have that inclination, and then the Lord inside you is also directing you in that path by sending different representatives. And these people have seen the truth. Tattva Darshana. Seen the truth means, truth is described in the Bhagavatam as three phases. What are they?
Paramatma relation. Brahman.
Yeah, you start with Brahman.
Paramatma.
Paramatma, then.
And finally, Supreme Personality.
Then finally, the Supreme. Vadanti das, Tattva vidas. So that Tattva Darshana, who have seen the truth, they have seen the truth in all three features. Vadanti das, Tattva vidas, Tattvam, Yajnana, Advayam. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdete. So, authentic spiritual teacher means he should take you up to the point of devotional service to the Supreme Person, not just give you the impersonal understanding of the Lord and stop it there. They are not Tattva Darshana. They haven't seen the truth and they can't play the role of a bona fide spiritual master. So, the bona fide spiritual master understands that God is a person and God is a Supreme Person, and it's from Him everything comes. And we are also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Then the knowledge of the soul and of the God and that relationship. Now, when we are in the material world, we are dealing with material nature. That is another aspect of transcendental knowledge which the Guru imparts. He does not ask you to renounce the material world and not consider the material world as illusory and to be given up. You didn't own it to renounce it in the first place. So, the ideal spiritual master is the one who gives you the process by which you can engage material nature in Lord's service. So he teaches you the connection between you and the material nature, how to deal with it, how to act in a way that you don't get entangled. Suppose if I don't want to get any fines from RTA, one thing I can do is I can stop driving. Then I won't get any fines from the here or the big roads. Whoever finds, who's fine, if you speed. One option is stop driving. Other option is don't understand the rules, then get into some problem, pay the fines. Or the third is know how to drive without getting fined and get on with your activities. Which the transformation is going to serve you for a higher purpose. Getting into your job or dropping off your children at the school or whatever it is. But you are able to do that activity without getting entangled. And that's what the spiritual master teaches you. How to utilize everything in Krishna's service. And that's how you see material nature in relationship to the Lord. And that's what the Tattva Darshana is about. One of the aspects is to see the material nature in connection with the Supreme Lord. So you're seeing yourself in connection with the Supreme Lord, which is your eternal servant. And Lord is the shelter, and He is the supreme enjoyer and the protector, well-wisher. Then material nature has to be engaged in the Lord's service. Now, this is where the spiritual master is teaching the proper mentality, the attitude, and then he also gives you proper methods by which material nature can be engaged, and also warns you about potential dangers, how actions in this world can either bind you or liberate you. And for understanding the intricacies of what is proper action, what is improper action, and what is devotional action, we need a spiritual master. Krishna explains that these concepts are very hard to understand, and for knowing this, we need a spiritual master. When I was thinking about this point and then looking at Narada Muni, he has perfectly engaged people of different nature in devotional service. In case of King Prachinabhagi, he was thinking that doing pious activities will not entangle him. He was not seeing the reactions of those pious activities and thinking that I'll go on doing this, because it is authorized by the Vedas and Guru. When Prabhupada talks about this three types of action, karma, vikarma and akarma, Prabhupada classifies karma, which is pious activities, also under vikarma. Why? Because it is not in line with the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, which is to give up sarvadharma paritya, give up all kinds of activities and surrender unto the Lord. By doing pious activities, you still have to come back into this world and enjoy the benefit. Coming back means taking birth. Birth is not a pleasant experience. Although you get a momentary enjoyment for the pious activities you have done, and then you need to grow old and die. So, in one sense, you are going away from the actual conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. That's why spiritual master is required. In case of Narada Muni, he saw how Prachinabhagi is getting entangled, although Prachinabhagi could not see. And that's what is being taught here in this verse about giving tatvartha darshanam. So seeing through the eyes of the scriptures. The scriptures are the basis. The spiritual master comes and takes the principles, and as per the position in which the disciple is in, he starts to change their attitude, their mentality, and he also gives them proper methods that they can adopt to reach the goal. So when Prachinabhagi saw that even though he thought he is not getting entangled, this is what it means to see action in inaction and inaction in action. This is the type of intricate knowledge, this is the vision which the spiritual master gives, which no other university, college, school, none of them teaches. This is the required knowledge, very relevant at this stage, how we are getting entangled without even we knowing how we are getting entangled. And that's why the spiritual master is required to give you that knowledge. A simple activity of sitting down and breathing without thinking about the Supreme Lord, just the breathing, breathing in, breathing out. What is happening is you're taking in microorganisms, and if the defense system is strong, it will kill the harmful organisms entering your body. Just by the act externally, I can't say that you are engaged in any violent activity. But internally, it's very relevant. If you are strong, you kill the virus. If the virus is strong, it takes over your system. This is what it means that an apparent activity of just sitting down and just breathing, so many reactions are happening. You are able to see reactionary work in an apparently non-violent, silent activity of breathing. And this is the type of knowledge which the Guru imparts. So does it mean that we stop all the activities? Because every activity is worth, every action is worth a reaction. No, the spiritual master tells you how to get out of the cycle. And that's the onslaught of knowledge, and that's the boat which will help you to get out of the cycle of birth and death. How to act in a way that you don't get entangled, you please the Lord, and you also develop devotion towards the Lord. All of these are getting accomplished by the knowledge given by the spiritual master. So this complex cycle is, you're given a loophole, or you're given an exit out of this complex cycle of action reaction by doing devotional activities by which you don't get pious or impious credits for that. That is a karma. That is one of the meanings of a karma. Although one meaning of that a karma is inaction, is not doing any activity, which Krishna brings out in the second chapter. Don't be attached to not doing your activity. Ma karma phalaketu, ma te sangosko a karmi. So don't be attached to not doing your activities. So that is the famous verse, karma nivadikaraste, ma phaleshu kadachana. So you have the right to perform your duties, but you are not entitled for the results. So now what motivation can I have if I don't aspire for the results? So what Krishna is saying is not to stop. You can give this excuse and stop action. That's not what the Guru and Krishna are telling. They are telling you or giving you the knowledge by which you can act in a way that you don't get entangled. How to deal with the material nature in such a way that you properly utilize it in the Lord's service. Prabhupada in the lectures to these verses, section of verses in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, he quotes the example of how microphone is being used, how the cars are being used in Krishna service, how money is being used in Krishna service. He goes through Goswami. And this is the knowledge, darshana, which the Guru gives, by which we can differentiate between capricious work, inaction, and devotional service, and engage in devotional service. That this transcendental knowledge that is given by the spiritual master is like a fire that can burn all the reactions. In case of Narada Muni imparting the Prachin Pradip, we saw how he got transformed. Because Narada Muni gave a method, changed the mentality, and also inspired him to quickly take up this process and not wait till the suns come. So this is one aspect of transcendental knowledge, where it is able to burn the reactions of your past activities, and any reaction which is pending, which you have to get in the near future, even that is getting burned. That is the speciality of a bhakti process, where you can burn the transcendental knowledge. Is special in that you can burn the sinful reactions which are in manifest, unmanifest state. So when you are reflecting on Agami, instructing Mrigadhi the hunter, so the manifest reaction is that he is in a hunter's body. But by taking up instruction from the spiritual master and following the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord, his manifest sinful reaction also changed and he became a saintly devotee. That's the power of the spiritual master. So, the hunter was engaging in vikarma, which is prohibited actions. But Narada intervenes and gives him the knowledge, and thereby makes him perform devotional action. Again, in the case of Guru Maharaj, Narada applies the same principle of instructing him in akarma, which is devotional service to the Lord. And if you see the transformation in Guru Maharaj also, you can see the mentality before he met Narada Muni and the mentality that he got transformed to. Again, there is a transformation in the consciousness and in the mentality. Before meeting Narada Muni, he wanted to get a kingdom which is greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. But after that, after going through the process, which is tailor-made by Narada Muni, again, his master brain, being in the forest, make a form of the Lord in the wood and worship. So he adjusted the details. And Prabhupada mentions in that section that an acharya can adjust such details to achieve the objective of engaging the disciple in devotional service. The result is that Dhruva Maharaj got transformed, and when he met the Lord, Swami Kritotasmi Varana Yache. Stane Abhilashi. My Abhilasha, my desire was to obtain a post, position. But now, I don't want any of those. So, a highly energetic youth who has got fully loaded up with material desires meets a spiritual master who completely tests him, then gives him the knowledge, whole transformation happens, the mentality changes, the methods were given. So he applied those methods, got the result, the whole mentality changed. So this is the power of the spiritual master giving the Tattva Darshana to a variety of spiritual teachers. In our own spiritual life, we must be able to appreciate how different divine personalities have come in and they have given this type of knowledge to us and how they have transformed. And they are transforming and will be also transforming us. Reflecting on my own experience, where I didn't come to Australia to become like this. The inclination to hear was there, and somehow by devotee association, they fanned the fire, and then you get introduced to various divine personalities. First, of course, is our In the Ayodhya temple, I should just go for prasad on the weekend, just sleep in, pay obeisances, come out. So one time I was paying obeisances in the wrong way, somebody tapped my shoulder and told me that you shouldn't do that, you're showing your feet to the guru. Okay, I didn't know that. So then, to ask forgiveness, I went close to Prabhupada, I didn't know who it was, and the name was written, touched his feet, and then by mistake I showed my feet to you, and while paying obeisances, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. There's a saying in the one of the South Indian languages, Telugu, Antara Mahanubhavu Antariki Vandanam. There are so many exalted personalities, spiritual personalities, and I pay my respects to everybody. So that verse came into my mouth and I recited that and touched the feet. That's where it called me and I said. Over a period, devotees introduced me to different spiritual teachers. One of them became my spiritual teacher. And many other instructing gurus who come into your life at the right time when you are going through a crisis. It may not be the guru who initiated you, but if the disciple is open enough, even in a Bhagavad class or Bhagavad Gita class or a short discussion with an exalted person, just to him talk. That will actually change and transform. Once they remember walking out of the Nasin station and coming out, had a heavy day of work. And I could see, I was hearing the Kartal song. And then when I got out of the station and up to the street, I saw Zorin's Jalanamara doing Kirtan with the his whole other set of devotees. I was in formal dress, but still started jumping and dancing. So that I could see the contrast in which I was in the fire of what do we call the fire of material existence. And you come out, you are in touch with the devotees. What is the difference? So then, when you want to radiate fully, then you are given instructions accordingly. Is going through some tough periods, and once they are in Maharaj visited Sydney temple, and then out of his own mercy he called and he spoke to me. Which is exactly what I needed here at that time. So even though we have seen, we are getting connected, we forget, and that's why these saintly personalities come again and again. And they interfere and then they leave you. And that is why this process of guru-disciple is mystical. And different personalities will come. And it's not just one person. It's a whole parampara connecting you. And they give you the transcendental knowledge. They give you the darshan, or the vision by which you can see who you are, who God is, what material nature is, how to engage that in Lord's service, and thereby you get liberated from the ocean of messiness. Okay, let's stop here. See if there are any questions and what we discuss.
Here, as I said, not only liberating but also purifying this transcendental knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So what all purity we can achieve?
What all purity we can achieve by hearing transcendental knowledge?
By following transcendental knowledge or getting.
Yeah, as I was mentioning earlier, the Klesha, you come out of the burning material existence that I was telling, coming out of work, joining the Harinam. So that is a kind of purification that is beginning. So Purification happens at the level of mind. Then your senses are getting engaged, as you described. You are hearing kirtan, tasting prasadam, then also cleaning the temple. Whatever senses you have, there is corresponding devotional action which is there to purify. Then with the purified consciousness, so bhakti yoga acts in an inside out approach in a way that the consciousness is getting purified. With that purified consciousness, you that happens by hearing transcendental knowledge. So with that purified consciousness, you purify your intelligence, make it spiritualized. With the spiritualized intelligence, you control the mind and the senses. And that's how purification happens at gross level, subtle level. And then when you fast track it, you take initiation when you're strongly connected, then the rest of the things, more subtle impurities also get purified. That is one way of looking at the different levels of purification. But yeah. Anything else?
Does this process work on everyone, or just?
Does this process work on everyone?
Because I've seen so many people who come to the temple, it doesn't work for everyone.
So many people come to the temple, it doesn't work. Okay. So the examples that I gave of Narada instructing the hunter, Narada instructing Prachinavati, Narada instructing Guru Maharaj, and now he's going to instruct the Prachetas. What is common in all these things? So Guru gives the process to disciple and immediately he gets transformed. But what happens? What is the part which the disciple has to do? He has to follow. Very good. He has to apply the process. So to the extent that you apply the process, it works. If you work the process works. If you don't, so that's why the human form of life is very rare. And human body is the perfect situation we're in. If you don't use that, then you are killing yourself. You are considered as a killer of your own. So the point they don't get transformed is they're not applying. The process works if you work the process. So as preachers, it's up to us to inspire different sets of people according to their psychophysical nature, whatever position they are in, engage them in different circles, give more and more opportunities for them so that they become purified. Okay, anything else?
Some people even go by the process, but they are just not able to continue.
Some people are going through the process, they are not able to continue. Okay. Examples?
Like some people, that I know some people who have actually started the process, but somehow they cannot continue.
Okay, no problem. Krishna says, whatever you have done, that will carry on with you. Even small progress made in bhakti will be protected. They will take up subsequently in this life or in the next life, whatever progress they have made, 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%, that sticks with them. So that guarantee Krishna gives. They shouldn't come into Vaishnava Brahma, then they will be able to access that spiritual credits. So Vaishnava Brahma will put a temporary block, you won't take away, it will delay. If they don't do that, there are good examples like Ajamu. to see how that helpless chanting of the Lord, the last stage of his life, saved him. So we may not see them throughout their devotional life. They can continue in a different temple or a different place. So, yeah, it is up to us to facilitate with wherever they are in each other's stage. We may not, but Guru and Krishna, they will guide them. Okay. Thank you. Grantha Sambhavam ki jai, Bhavam ki jai.